It's been a very long holiday weekend, and we have had a lot of wrestling. We had WWE giving us what was an excellent show on Saturday, King and Queen of the Ring. We had AEW giving us an excellent show last night in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing. Two out of three ain't bad. They can't all be winners, because this show tonight, this wasn't it. This was not it. I have not been this bored by large swaths of Raw in a very long time. Raw has rebounded from where it used to be. Raw used to be way down here. And Raw is much better than it used to be, but this episode, I don't know what it was, man. I don't know. I was bored by large chunks of this show. And it all culminated in a steel cage main event. Becky Lynch lost her women's world title on Saturday in Saudi Arabia, and she immediately invoked her rematch clause. And tonight, not only did she get a rematch against Liv Morgan for the women's world title, but she got it inside of a steel cage to try to alleviate any sort of outside interference, anybody getting involved in her business, as Dominic did on Saturday. I mean, you know how that goes in these cage matches, right? Well, we'll have a cage. So that way the cage can keep people out. Of course, the cage doesn't keep anybody out. Cage is like some kind of magnetic force. I think it actually attracts people. So sure enough, there was interference, and ultimately it cost Becky Lynch again. But I will say this, you know, Becky Lynch, has been a lot of talk about her future in WWE. And there's been a lot of talk about her contract status. We have not heard any updates on her contract status, but we know from her own words that Becky Lynch's WWE contract is up right around now. It could be as early as this week. So she lost her title on Saturday, and that got a lot of people talking, because if she's not under contract, then of course you take the championship off of her. And her getting another title shot so quickly thereafter could mean that they just want to get it out of the way, because maybe she's not going to be back in WWE, except of course she's going to be back in WWE. Now, there's a chance that Becky Lynch may have wrestled her last match for a while tonight. We don't know. But there's a chance. And if that was Becky Lynch's last match for a while, what a lame, terrible way to go. That was such a lame fucking finish to that cage. First of all, it was just, as a cage match, it was a terrible match. If you took those two women and just put them in the ring, it would have been a very basic, perfectly acceptable match. If not boring. But it would have been fine. In a cage, there was no need for this to be in a cage, other than for them to do the angle that they did at the very end. That was the only reason. And what they did was, they had Braun Strowman, who some may say is still running. Some may say he's still running. He was running from the beginning of the show, chasing after JD McDonagh. All throughout the night, he was chasing after him in the back, looking for him. Right up until the very end of the show, when he came back out to the ring, because McDonagh had come back out with Finn Balor and chased him around the ring, and he knocks Dominic into the cage door, which goes into Becky. It's this whole chain of events that unfolds. And that is how Becky Lynch ultimately met her maker here at the end of this match, and Liv Morgan is still your women's world champion. Now, when this was over, Dominic, of course, had a boo-boo face, like he made another mistake, and Liv Morgan is giving him, you know, this very intense stare in the aisleway, and then they immediately go off the air. Now, this has been an issue the last few weeks with Raw. They cut it very close to the 11 o'clock hour. USA Network does not give them an overrun, does not give them any extra time, so at 11 o'clock, they have a hard stop, and they just cut, and they go right into the next show. And I know last week, I think it was, again, they cut it very, very close where Gunther's match ended. It was his match with Jey Uso. And like the bell rang, they started playing his music, and boom, there's the copyright, and off the air they go. They got to do a better job with their time management on these shows. I don't know if they have somebody new who's timing these things out. I think it's been Billy Kidman now for years. I don't know what's going on here. But they go off the air, and I thought that was the end of it. I didn't know that the big payoff here to this whole angle at the end of the show took place when they went off the air on USA Network. Now, in other markets and other countries on other channels, it aired. So this was a USA Network thing, but when Raw went off the air, what happened at the end was Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio locked lips. Liv Morgan grabbed this kid by the head and tried to swallow his entire face. Yes, Liv Morgan planted a wet one on Dominic Mysterio. Well, look, it's completely understandable. I mean, both of them have had run-ins with law enforcement, so I think it kind of brings them together. You know, they've had some traumatic experiences with the police. Maybe this is the tie that binds. So the big payoff here, if you were watching on USA Network, you didn't even see it. But that's how Raw went off the air for everybody else in the world, unless you were watching here on USA Network. And not even that was enough for me to sit here and tell you that I thought this was a great show, because this was not a great show. This was mostly a very dull show. But that was not a show without things that I liked and without things that I thought were very good. Case in point, the best thing on the entire show was definitely not this stuff. The best thing on the entire show tonight involved Chad Gable and the Alpha Academy and Sami Zayn. And that came in hour number three. Because there was a match that Otis had, and following that match, there was a segment, there was an emergency meeting in the ring of the Alpha Academy, and they did this great angle where Chad Gable has just been, he's like the abusive coach, and he has been just berating these people and just insulting them and mocking them and embarrassing them in front of the entire world. And they're putting so much heat on Chad Gable. And people are so sympathetic towards Otis, they're sympathetic towards Tozawa, and they're sympathetic towards Maxxine Dupri. And when the day finally comes that Otis sees the error of his ways and he realizes that he does not need this man anymore, and he breaks away from Chad Gable and he puts down Chad Gable, it is going to be a glorious moment. They are doing a masterful job of telling this story and getting people invested, because it is such a simple story to buy into. You want to see this man get his ass whooped, and you want to see Otis wake up out of this just trance that he's in here. It's like he's under this man's spell. He's so loyal to him. You just want him to snap out of it and just see things for how they really are. So I think that that is easily the best part of Monday Night Raw now, at least in terms of anything going on outside of what Drew McIntyre and CM Punk are doing. Certainly the best thing going on right now is the Chad DeMott. That's right, Slap Talk. Chad DeMott. Although, let's not go that far, given some of the things that he was accused of there at the PC. But that's basically what they're going for here. The other thing on the show was we had a rematch with Ricochet and Ilya Dragunov, and while it was not as great as the first match they had, because, of course, they're telling a story with Bron Breakker, so we did not exactly get a clean finish in that match, but even that, their booking so far of Bron Breakker has been just chef's kiss. They are handling him. I mean, I talk about the way they've used Jade Cargill so far. I've talked about the way that they booked Gunther since he's been called up to the main roster. Sometimes they just get it right, and they know what they're doing, and they do exactly what they should do. And that's what they're doing so far with Bron Breakker. They have built this guy up in the span of only a few weeks into someone that, you walk around on eggshells when you're around this man. When he's around and he's on TV, you sit up in your chair and you take notice, because he feels like an attraction. And it hasn't taken very long for them to do that, and it's working. So that's another part of the show that I liked. But outside of those few things, again, we'll go through the whole package here, but this was not an episode that if you missed, you have to sit through the entire 3 hours. I'm going to go through this and tell you the two or three things that you need to pay attention to, and I'm going to save you a lot of time. This is your Monday Night Raw review for Memorial Day, May 27th, 2024. I am the Solid Monster. Like, subscribe, super chats are open. I thank you in advance for them. It has been a very busy weekend. This is my fourth show here in the last couple of days. Raw opened with a recap of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring on Saturday, and we had Ludwig Kaiser in the ring to introduce us to the new King of the Ring for 2024, and that is the Ring General Gunther, who came out in a suit, carrying his crown. I still love the fact that he will not put the crown on his head. He holds the crown, which kind of looks ridiculous enough. It's not a manly enough crown. Like when Roman Reigns beat the hell out of Xavier Woods a few years ago and he took his crown, remember, and he placed it on his own head? It was a different crown. I don't know. That crown looked better than this one. This one looks like, I don't know, it looks like something you would wear to like prom or something. A prom king and prom queen. It's not a crown befitting of Gunther. So I don't blame him for not putting it on his head. It would look ridiculous, but he's carrying it around with him. Michael Cole on commentary acknowledged that it was a controversial finish on Saturday with Randy Orton's shoulder being up off the mat. Gunther looked at his crown. He said that he beat Orton. He is now the rightful king of the ring. He has earned the right to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam, and that is true. By virtue of his win on Saturday, he will challenge the World Heavyweight title, whoever it is, whoever's the champion, come August 3rd. Gunther has his shot locked in. So he said the King of the Ring tournament lacked prestige. He said that he had to step up and raise the tournament to heights never seen before. He said the World Heavyweight title lacks prestige as well, because the champion won it by taking shortcuts. That is Money in the Bank. At that point, the World Heavyweight champion Damian Priest made his way to the ring. He did not arrive by himself. He had Finn Balor and JD McDonagh with him. He took issue with Gunther questioning the prestige of his title. He said, "We all saw that you didn't beat Randy Orton." And he added that, "Yeah, I cashed in Money in the Bank because I earned the right to do so. And by the way, I was not the only man to take that briefcase and use it to cash in for a world title." So he said that's how it works, and he questioned whether Gunther gets how business works in WWE. Gunther said, "Well, maybe you could teach me about business." He said that he's been waiting for someone to teach him anything inside the ring since he joined this company. He told Priest to give him his business lesson in the ring at SummerSlam, or he can save it for after when he will have to address him as the World Heavyweight Champion. Priest questioned what Gunther could teach him that he doesn't already know, and then he was interrupted by Drew McIntyre. So we had the old parade of interruptions here at the beginning of Raw, a Vince McMahon special. Play the person's music, they come out, they interrupt, play another person's music, out they come. How many times over the years have we seen this? So he gets in the ring, and the crowd chants for CM Punk, and McIntyre said that Punk has been back for 6 months now, and McIntyre said that he's been the highlight of Punk's return. Him. He's been the highlight of CM Punk's return to the company. He says, "If it wasn't for me, Punk would have screwed up, and he would have been fired, and he would have nowhere left to go. So, you're welcome." McIntyre said that he would become champion in less than 3 weeks. At this point, Gunther realized, "I don't need to be here anymore." He kind of looked like Tanahashi was looking at that post-show press conference after Double or Nothing last night. Like, what am I doing here? I'm gonna step away. I don't really need to be here anymore. Poor Tanahashi. So he left the two of them alone in the ring. McIntyre said that he wants the best version of Damian Priest, and the champion is spreading himself too thin. He said the Judgment Day has gone to hell ever since the real leader, Rhea Ripley, got hurt. McIntyre brought up Wade Barrett, Finn Balor, Fit Finlay, William Regal, and the British Bulldog. What a faction that would have been. What a faction. The British Bulldog, Fit Finlay, Wade Barrett, and William Regal. That could have worked at one time. He said, "What do they all have in common? They're all UK legends who have zero world championships between them." McIntyre said that he's already won three and he will soon have a fourth world title. So he said the fans at the last Clash at the Castle, they broke Roman Reigns, and he would have defeated Roman were it not for Solo Sikoa. That was in Cardiff. That was in Wales. He said this time, they're in Scotland. Scotland is his country, and it was time for a geography lesson because they don't teach geography anymore in the United States. So a USA chant broke out because anytime you offend the fans here in the crowd, they chant USA, USA. McIntyre said, "Look, I'm an American citizen. I'm just speaking the truth here." He said the Scottish people are the most passionate people in the world. He said that, actually, you know what? I have to stop right there. Because that's not true. As I found out yesterday, last night, during the show, the most passionate people in the world are the AEW fans. Can't say anything bad. Otherwise, oh boy, you better watch out. So the Scottish people are the second most passionate people in the world. He said he's been called a Terminator, he's been called a warrior, he's been called a psychopath. Speaking of which, I digress. In Scotland, though, he says, they just call me Drew, because all Scottish people are like that. Damian Priest mocked the idea of booing fans getting under his skin, and he asked McIntyre if his wife is going to be there and what her name is. And McIntyre started seething at the mere mention of his wife. And Priest said, look, I just wanted to get under your skin. And it worked. So at this point, Braun Strowman's music interrupts. And here comes Braun Strowman on his way down to the ring. McIntyre at this point makes his exit. Strowman gets inside. He goes face to face with Damian Priest, which could potentially be foreshadowing a future world title match. I'm not so sure that Damian Priest is going to be the champion long enough to defend that title against Braun Strowman, although if he somehow holds on to it, which is possible, if he holds on to it at Clash at the Castle, I could see that being a Money in the Bank title match. I could see Money in the Bank in July. They could do, you know, Strowman and Priest. That's a possibility. But again, he may not be champion long enough for it. So Priest managed to, he motioned for his, or Strowman anyway, motioned for Priest's sidekicks, Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, to join him. Balor and McDonagh, they climbed up onto the apron. That was the tease before we got the match that was coming up on the flip side of the break between Braun Strowman and JD McDonagh. You know, it was weird. First of all, I don't like these segments generally when they have this parade of people who come out, you know, at the perfect time and everybody has to, yeah, their music plays and they come out. It's just such a tired formula. With the right people, it can work. Here, it just didn't work. You really need people who can go out there and talk and keep you engaged for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. This was not the right mix of people. But what also made it weird is the fact that, you know, we had Gunther out there with Ludwig Kaiser. And then we had Damian Priest. And then we had Drew McIntyre. They're all heels. And Priest has been showing you know, some babyface tendencies here and there of late, you know, wanting to kind of do things on his own and stuff like that. But he's a heel. If it wasn't made clear here, it was made clear later in the show when he came out and beat the hell out of Rey Mysterio. So he's a heel, Gunther is a heel, Drew McIntyre is a heel. And so you had three heels in the ring, all cutting a promo on each other. Gunther had practically nothing to say. I mean, he really didn't. And what was there for him to say? You know, he won King of the Ring. He says, look, I'm going to win the World Heavyweight title. What else is left for him to say, really? So he didn't say much. McIntyre, as usual in these situations, was the strongest promo of the bunch. Not that Priest is bad, but Drew McIntyre is just on fire. He's one of the best promos right now in the entire company. I did like, though, what they accomplished here was that they promoted two different events that are coming up. Their next show coming up is Clash at the Castle in 3 weeks. And we have a World Heavyweight title match already scheduled. They promoted that, but they also reminded us that at SummerSlam, Gunther is going to be challenging for that championship, and it could be Drew, or it could be Damian Priest. But he's next in line. So they made you very much aware of that here in this segment. So they managed to promote both shows in effect, but this segment did not warrant 20 minutes to open this show. This was not the segment for a 20-minute promo chat here. Now, Braun Strowman was already out there, as was JD McDonagh, and that was the first match here to open things up. Joined already in progress as they came back from the commercial break. Strowman gorilla pressed McDonagh over his head. JD, though, slipped out. McDonagh avoided a charging Strowman who went through the ropes and collided with the ring post before tumbling to the floor. And McDonagh went outside, he hit a chop block to Strowman, that took us into the commercial break. So coming out of the break, Strowman was selling a knee injury. We haven't seen enough of those lately. We had Bianca Belair selling a knee injury, we had Randy Orton selling a knee injury. Now we have Braun Strowman selling a knee injury. On this show alone tonight, we had Ricochet selling ribs, right? Broken ribs, or not broken, but you know, rib injury. Lyra Valkyria was selling a rib injury, which I could at least believe because of that fucking finish from Saturday when Nia Jax just squashed her in the middle of the ring. I'm surprised she has any ribs left. So that at least I can believe. But anyway, and poor Adam Copeland doesn't have to do much selling because apparently, according to Brian Alvarez, the update on Copeland, we still don't know how hurt he is, but he is injured coming out of Double or Nothing, which, of course, if you saw that show, how the fuck do you not expect him to come out of that show anything other than injured? So now we're just waiting to find out the severity of it. I have a bad feeling that we're going to be getting a vacancy with the TNT Championship very soon. I hope I'm wrong. But anyway, Strowman now is selling a knee injury. But even with the knee injury, he gives the signal. He gives the signal for the Strowman Express. This man, even on a bad wheel, is going to go outside and he is going to run around the ring. He's going to run a lap, or I should say limp, because he's limping around the ring. But then at the very last minute, he builds up a head of steam. And he barrels over poor JD McDonagh. Just mows this guy down. Back inside, Strowman hoists up McDonagh, but he released him to go after Balor, who got up on the apron. Strowman then tossed Balor into the ring. So now Carlito runs down. While the referee was clearing Balor from the ring, he hits Braun from behind. Braun no-sells it. And then he knocks Carlito to the floor. McDonagh capitalizes with a headbutt to a distracted Braun Strowman. Then he hits the ropes. Braun, though, catches him with a tilt-a-whirl into a running power slam for the win. That was cool. I like that. Tilt-a-whirl right into his finish. That was a pretty sweet way to end the match. So I did like that. But they barely had a chance here. Look at this guy. I look again. It's been so long since we've had Braun the Clown here. We only first saw him for the first time in a while last week. It's been too long since we've seen him, but the Strowman Express is back, so we're going to be seeing more of him here on these streams. They barely had a chance to ring the bell after Braun got the three count. They didn't even play his music before Balor and Carlito hit the ring. They immediately attack Strowman, who quickly clears them from the ring. McDonagh then hits Braun Strowman from behind with a chair. Braun no-sells it and stands there. The crowd now begins to chant, "You fucked up." Of course, it's USA Network, so they mute the audio every 2 seconds. So you know what they're saying, but they're not allowed to actually air it, apparently. So then he turns around. He knocks the chair out of McDonagh's hand. McDonagh leaves the ring. He runs to the back with Balor and Carlito. And Strowman chases after them, or I should say limps after them. Now, I thought that was the end of this. This was only just the beginning, though, because Braun Strowman on a bad knee was apparently running around the building for 3 straight hours. This was a show-long storyline that he was looking for JD McDonagh, and he never stopped. He bumped into a bunch of different people in the back. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? 3 hours of this. There he is. Braun the Clown over there. All right, let's get rid of this. Get out of here. Get out of here. They almost took the Strowman Express out of service again. It has a bad wheel. These trains really should not be in operation with a bad wheel. Backstage, the new women's world champion, Liv Morgan, was interviewed by Kathy Kelly, who asked if she had any remorse over the way that she beat Becky Lynch on Saturday. Liv said no, claimed that she didn't know Dominic was going to get involved, and she said that's why there would be nowhere to run and nowhere to hide inside the steel cage tonight. She would finally beat Becky Lynch one-on-one without any outside distractions. We'll see about that. We had a video recap of Bron Breakker's very eventful night on Raw last Monday when he killed poor Kale Dixon, So if you have any beverage on you, pour one out for poor Kale. He's really banged up right now. Michael Cole told us his head hurts, his whole body hurts after this guy got murdered by Bron Breakker last Monday. And then, of course, in the back later on in the show, Ricochet was having a little meeting, a little powwow with Ilya Dragunov, and then he came out of nowhere, Bron did, and he speared Ricochet. So that was his very eventful night last week. Earlier today, we got footage of the medical staff clearing Ricochet, who had athletic tape all across his ribs, the side of his ribs. Adam Pearce was not convinced that he was ready to get back in the ring, but he acknowledged, okay, well, you are medically cleared. So Ricochet said, I want Bron in a match tonight. And Pearce said, he's not here. I fined him, I suspended him, he's home. He's not here. And Ricochet was very upset about this and said, how are we going to fix this? So Ilya Dragunov walks in, and he thanked Ricochet for pushing him out of harm's way last week in the back when Bron came out of nowhere with that spear. He actually pushed Dragunov out of the way. And Dragunov said that he would be happy to give him a rematch once Ricochet is all healed up and ready to go. Ricochet said he wanted it tonight because he was ready. And Dragunov said, look, I fight people and I break them, but I don't fight broken people. I like that line. Ricochet hit him back with, Ricochet ain't nothing but money. I ain't never been broke. I don't know who scripted this segment, but I actually like the dialogue here. And he told Adam Pearce, make the match. And Adam Pearce said, well, it is official. Tonight it will be Ricochet one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov. The rematch that I was very much looking forward to here. So that got me excited, and that led to Ricochet one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov in a rematch from the opening round of the King of the Ring tournament and that great match that they had. As Dragunov entered, a QR code, we've been getting a lot of these, a QR code flashed on the screen, and the words, because we believed, like, vertically, just right down the screen, because we believed. I'm pretty much over all of it. I know some people are probably just like, you know, picking every single QR code apart, every little clue, every little hint. I'm over it already. I'm just waiting for it. You know, Howdy and his crew, Howdy Doody, whatever. I'm waiting for him to show up. I really just don't care about this anymore. And Cole, by the way, Michael Cole acknowledged it and then just quickly moved on. He's like, oh, there it is again. There's another one of these QR codes, and then boom. He moved on, which is what I'm doing. I'm moving on. Ricochet sent Dragunov to ringside with a knee strike and then hit him with a suicide dive. Ricochet went for another dive. Dragunov, though, stuffed it, and Ricochet caught him with a kick from the apron and then followed that up with a moonsault from the middle rope. Back inside, both men traded strikes until Dragunov turned Ricochet inside out with a clothesline. Dragunov powerbombed Ricochet and then went up top and jumped right into a super kick. Ricochet hit the recoil, covered Dragunov for a good near fall. He pulled himself up, he sold his ribs, and then he went up top. Dragunov cuts him off with a punch and then joins him on the ropes. Ricochet knocks him down to the mat, and then he hits a shooting star press. And he is selling his own ribs after hitting it, because again, it's very dumb if you have a rib injury to do a shooting star press from the top rope. So he paid the price for that. But when he stood up, before he could do anything, before he could even attempt to make a cover on this man, Bron Breakker, from out of nowhere, like a bat out of hell, spears the hell out of Ricochet for the disqualification. I presume disqualification, but they never tell us what the actual outcomes of these matches are. He attacked Ricochet first, so that should be a disqualification. But the referee called for the bell. Maybe it was a stoppage and a no contest. Honestly, it doesn't even matter. It really doesn't. It's not like it even matters. So why even bother trying to figure it out? Breakker then speared Dragunov. Now Adam Pearce comes out. He's got referees and producers with him. Pearce is scolding Bron Breakker. I mean, he's standing right next to him. He's yelling at him, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be suspended. Bron will not even make eye contact with this man. He's looking out into the crowd. Pearce is looking right at him. He will not look at him. And then he goes to leave the ring, and Pearce is like, you're walking away from me? So Adam Pearce follows this man as Breaker is walking down the aisle, and he's continuing to bark at Bron Breakker, and finally Breakker stops, and he slowly turns over in the direction of Adam Pearce and glances right at him. And Adam Pearce got real quiet. He got real quiet and shut up pretty quick. And then Bron Breakker walked to the back. It was not as good as their first match. Obviously, they didn't get as much time, and given the finish they did, it was not nearly as good as their first one. But they were well on their way before Bron Breakker ruined it. But if you're going to do a finish like that, that's the way you do a finish. That's what you do right there. Again, they're trying to establish this man as a dominant force here on this brand, and in the span of 2 weeks, they've already accomplished that. So if they just keep doing what they've been doing, Bron Breakker is well on his way. And now he's got issues with not only Ricochet, but he took out Ilya Dragunov with a spear as well after the match was over. So he already feels like a big deal, and it feels like we're getting a triple threat match. Clash at the Castle. Probably going to be Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, and Ricochet in Scotland. See, that's the kind of match I would open that show with. I would do this match at Clash at the Castle, and there's no guarantee, because Triple H likes to keep these cards now to about five matches, maybe six at the most. He doesn't want to overflow these cards with matches. So by the time we get to Glasgow, I mean, we know we're going to have Cody defending against somebody, I'm sure. You're going to have Priest defending against McIntyre. And let's just say, you know, want to have at least one women's match on that show, maybe a tag match, and then one more. I don't know if this makes the cut. It would make the cut if it were up to me, though. And it's the kind of match that I would open that show up with. Because I think these three would go out there and they would fucking kill it. But whether it's there or whether it's on TV, looks like we're headed towards a triple threat. And I cannot wait. But they are to be commended on the job they're doing with Bron right now. They're doing a terrific job with him. After a break, Pearce and Breakker, they were arguing in the back as Kathy Kelly tried to provide us with an update. Bron walked away. And she wanted to go interview Pearce, but he got approached by Kiana James. And then he told her, let's talk in my office because I need a drink. This poor guy's already fallen off the wagon. I thought, like, you know, coming into the draft and out of the draft, I thought he got that problem licked. But boy, I guess you never know with your demons, you know. This poor bastard. Miz and R-Truth were shown earlier today outside the arena in an ice cream truck, or at least R-Truth was in an ice cream truck. Miz was standing outside the truck, and he was dressed in white. He was dressed in all white like the Good Humor Man. Miz wondered why Truth wanted him to wear white. Now, you see, this was, you know, R-Truth comedy, man. This was a moment where he could have said, because it's Labor Day, dog. He'd be like, no, Truth, it's Memorial Day. See with that shitty comedy, I could be a WWE writer. So yeah, so why do you want me to wear white? And Truth said that he wanted Miz to represent his flavor. He said Miz was vanilla and Truth was strawberry. And Miz was very surprised that Truth would choose strawberry for himself, and he stopped short of guessing chocolate. New Day showed up, and Xavier Woods asked Miz what flavor you were about to say. And Miz insisted that he was thinking strawberry. Woods asked, hey, are you guys still doing that Memorial Day raffle for a shot at the tag team titles? Miz said no. At the same time, Truth said yes. Karrion Kross happened to hear this. He happened to be nearby. And so Karrion Kross shows up, and he approaches the New Day. Kross said he wasn't there to challenge them to a match. He actually wanted to help. He wanted to help specifically Xavier Woods. And he wondered, when are you going to finally cut Kofi loose? Woods blew off the idea of ending a 10-year friendship just because Karrion Kross was being nice to him. Kofi said that Woods was saying no, and Kross said that it was typical of Kofi, and he asked when Kingston was going to retire. He said that I could help you with some early retirement plans. So Kross invited Woods to watch AOP in action tonight. Woods laughed it off. I mean, I would do the same thing. If you're going to invite me to watch an AOP match, I'm going to probably laugh in your face, too. So he laughs at him and says, how about we have a match with AOP next week? In the background, throughout all of this, because they were outside, in the background, you could see Sonya Deville sitting down and talking to, it looked like Zoe Stark to me. I couldn't really tell, but it looked like Sonya Deville speaking to somebody in the background. And then we had the Authors of Pain taking on the Creed brothers. Julius Creed, he had a chance to shine. I mean, as much as you can shine in a 2.5 minute match. But he had a chance to shine here, handing out suplexes to his much larger opponents. But then Scarlett, outside the ring, drove Ivy Nile into the ring steps, which distracted the Creeds. This allowed AOP to hit Julius with a combo powerbomb neckbreaker for the win. Michael Cole said that Paul Ellering had named it What a Rush. Obviously, in tribute to the Legion of Doom. You know, Paul Ellering, back in the day, I know he's a lot older now, but back in the day, he was not a bad promo. You know, he's a pretty standard, good wrestling manager promo. Now, that was in the 1980s. It would be nice if they gave him a chance to speak every now and then. I mean, isn't that the point of having a manager? Is the manager not supposed to be the mouthpiece, in most cases, for the person that they're representing? You would think for a guy that has the kind of experience that he has, they would give him promo time, unless maybe he's lost some speed on his fastball. I don't know. I haven't heard him speak. You know, when he's out there in the ring with these guys, I hear him muttering, but I haven't actually heard him on the microphone, on TV. That would be nice. I mean, Paul Ellering is a legendary manager. I don't know why he doesn't get the chance to speak. I have to assume, given the way the Creeds, and I don't want to say they were squashed, because this was not a squash match. That would be the wrong way of defining it, but it was a 2-minute match and they lost. Okay, so it was the closest thing to a squash without actually being a squash. And I have to assume that the plan is to turn them heel very soon and hopefully pair them up with Chad Gable once Chad Gable gets rid of the dead weight in the Alpha Academy. Now, if that's the case, if they're going to go heel soon, then this is fine because these two have to hit rock bottom first. They've had shots before at tag team titles, they failed. They have not won. You know, they really haven't won a big match in a while, and so they need to hit rock bottom first as a way to explain whatever attitude shift that they're going to have. So I don't have an issue with this if the plan is for them to go heel, and if they go heel, they should be paired up with Chad Gable very soon. Michael Cole recapped Ted Cruz being attacked by Carlito backstage last week. Rey Mysterio, now we're back live in the back. Rey Mysterio delivers a backstage promo and said that Carlito was welcomed into the LWO with open arms. Rey said that Carlito would still be his brother had he not taken his current path. He said that Carlito's jealousy over Dragon Lee made him bitter. And Rey said that Carlito can run to the Judgment Day, and hey, maybe they'll welcome him with open arms like he did. But he said those days are over. He said Carlito would not find an old friend in the ring. He would find out what happens when you cross the LWO. Oh, did I say Ted Cruz? I meant Cruz del Toro. Hold on a second. Yes, Cruz del Toro. Last week on TV, Cruz del Toro. Maybe I'm trying to wish it into existence. I don't know. Cruz del Toro was attacked in the back last week. Not Ted Cruz. Cruz del Toro. You know, you could tell it's been a very long weekend. I am so tired. I have been doing shows every single day. Give me a fucking break. All right? Cut me some slack. So we go back and Bird Girl is in the back. She's selling her ribs from being crushed by Nia Jax on Saturday. Becky Lynch sidles on up to her, sits down next to her, and said, you know, Saturday did not go well for either of them. But it's not about winning all the time. It's about getting better all the time. She said, you keep winning and you keep learning until it's time to walk away. And then Becky told her, hey, consider wearing knee pads. And she left. That might be the best advice that she's given this woman. Until it's time to walk away. So the question is she going to walk away for a little while, or is she just leaning into all of the chatter about her future? I think she's leaning into it. Lyra Valkyria one-on-one with Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane has new music. And anytime I hear that somebody has new music and you have to assume it's Def Rebel, I take a big gulp. Because I don't know what to expect, but it's probably not going to be good. But I am happy to report that based on what I heard, and this was only the first time I heard it, but based on what I heard here, it's not terrible. It's you know, it's typical instrumental theme that you would hear, but it's actually not terrible. I need to hear it more, but not terrible for a change. Valkyria had tape on her ribs. You know, all this tape, I see it every week on WWE television. I see it every week on AEW television. I never used to see this years ago. Now everybody wears all of the Kinesio tape, you know, the athletic tape. I'm going to buy stock in one of these companies because there's so much fucking tape these two companies use alone. Forget any other sport. It's all I see every week. Guys got tape on their neck. They have tape on their shoulders. Then you have other guys who are cupping. Remember when Kenny Omega showed up on TV once? He had fucking cupping marks all over his back. I don't even know if that stuff works. I got to buy stock in one of these companies. Kairi targeted the ribs and then went up top. Valkyria cut her off, only to be tied up in a tree of woe. Kairi double stomped Valkyria, then pulled her out of the corner and covered her for another two count. Kairi looked like she got lost on the next spot because she tried to pick up Lyra. Lyra would not go. It was like, if you go back and watch it too, Lyra kind of looks up at her like, what are you doing? And then the referee said something to Kairi. Kairi then let Lyra go, let her, you know, lay on the mat. And then she proceeded to go. Now, this is exactly what happened, by the way, at Backlash. When they had that tag team title match with Bianca and Jade against the Kabuki Warriors and things fell apart. And I said, you know, well, Jade, you know, she got lost or whatever. And people pointed out that, well, it looked like maybe Kairi was the one who got lost and things fell apart, at least maybe equally, because once that happened, nobody knew what the fuck to do. So this is now the second time that it looked like Kairi got lost here. But she went up top. She went for the insane elbow. Lyra got the feet up and kicked her right in the elbow on the way down. And then she crucifixed Kairi into a pin and got the three count. So it was a bounce back win here for Lyra coming out of her loss to Nia Jax on Saturday. And another loss for Damage Control. In the back later on, I'm going to skip ahead here because in the back later on, Io Sky was sitting in their locker room. In walks Dakota Kai and Kairi Sane after her loss. And Io was not happy. She started saying something in Japanese. She threw a fit. She started throwing furniture. She stormed out of the room. Kairi and Dakota looked terrified. At least we know who the real leader is now of Damage Control. Kairi was, she was mortified by this, and Io was not happy. In the Judgment Day clubhouse, Damian Priest asked Finn Balor and Carlito, where's JD? Where's JD McDonagh? Priest also asked Carlito, why are you here? And Carlito started to leave, and then he claimed that he found McDonagh because McDonagh happened to walk in at that moment. Oh, look, I found him. So McDonagh told Priest that Braun Strowman had been chasing him around all night, and Damian Priest brought up McDonagh talking to Liv Morgan. And yes, what happened is, earlier when Sheamus, they showed Sheamus before the commercial break, Sheamus was in the back, and he was walking through the hallway, and in the background, you could briefly see JD McDonagh conversing with Liv Morgan until Braun Strowman showed up, and then JD bailed. But there was a brief moment where the two of them were speaking, and so he wanted to know what was that about. McDonagh said, yeah, I spoke to her, but you don't know what I said to her. And before we could find out any more, in walked Dominic Mysterio and his mullet and his mustache. Priest had everybody else leave. He asked Dom if he spoke with Rhea Ripley. Dom said that he had, and she knows that he was only trying to help on Saturday. He said that he told Rhea that he was going to try to fix it. And Priest said that you better fix it and do it tonight, or he would hate to be in his shoes when Rhea is mad. Rey Mysterio, one-on-one with Carlito. Michael Cole said that this was the first time in 20 years that these two have had a singles match, and that is true, at least on TV. It's been 20 years. It was on SmackDown, I believe, in 2004 that these two had a match. Samantha Irvin announced that Mysterio was accompanied to the ring by Zelina Vega, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro. But the problem is, there was no Joaquin Wilde, and there was no Cruz del Toro. It was only Dragon Lee and Zelina Vega. So maybe she sees things that aren't really there. Or maybe she sees things that we don't. Right? Like me, I saw Ted Cruz. Apparently. Maybe Samantha Irvin and I, we share some kind of weird superpower. I don't know. So Carlito hit a superplex. Ray came back with a lion salt. Carlito followed with a fireman's carry into a cutter for two. Finn Balor entered through the crowd and attacked Dragon Lee from behind. Mysterio wiped out Balor with a seated senton off the apron. And then Ray hit Carlito with a 619 and a springboard splash for the win. Mysterio attacked Balor after the match and then chucked him onto the announce desk and held him there. And he told Dragon Lee, go up. And so Dragon Lee goes all the way up to the top rope. But Damian Priest attacks Rey Mysterio from behind while Carlito, meanwhile, over by the ring, spits an apple up into Dragon Lee's face, which Michael Cole completely missed and did not acknowledge. Priest nailed Dragon Lee with a razor's edge in the ring, and then Mysterio attacked Priest, kicked him into the ropes, set up for a 619, but Balor got in his way, and Priest booted him, and then Priest laid out Mysterio with a huge South of Heaven chokeslam. Balor and Carlito were momentarily happy until Priest looked over in their direction outside the ring and shot them a death stare. Basically annoyed. I have to come out here and do all this by myself. So Mysterio and Priest have already been announced one-on-one for next week's Raw. Backstage, Chad Gable scolded Akira Tozawa for not being in Saudi Arabia, claimed that he was distracted during his match because all he could think about was Tozawa. I thought that was funny. That was funny. As if anybody is thinking of Tozawa. So Braun Strowman walked by and asked if they had seen JD McDonagh, and they said no, and he kept on walking, or limping. Otis and Maxine, they arrived after Strowman left to go continue his search. And Gable said, oh, look who it is, Goldilocks and her three brain cells. He told Maxine it wasn't a fashion show, so she should not even think about going to the ring. Gable said that he would give Otis a chance to redeem himself by beating Big Bronson Reed, and he made Otis say the words, no matter what. And that led into the next match, and this right here, from this point through the following segment, this was the best part of the entire show. It came in hour number three. It started with Otis one-on-one with Bronson Reed. The bell rang. Reed hit Otis, who was focused on Gable, who was outside the ring. Otis battled back, and he set up for a caterpillar. Gable got up on the apron, and you had the truffle shuffle. Somebody said the truffle shuffle. That, you know, that's what it was. That's what it reminds me of. When Otis begins to, convulse, or what? Not convulse, but you know what I mean. When he starts to kind of shake. He starts to shake around like he's hulking up or whatever. It reminds me of Chunk and the Truffle Shuffle from the Goonies. That's what it was. If I didn't know any better, Otis could very well be a grown-up version of Chunk. Although Chunk by now, my God, that movie came out in 88, I think. So, I mean, how old would he be now, right? He's got to be in his late 30s, early 40s. Probably 40-ish. But anyway, so he was going for the caterpillar. Gable got up on the apron and told him no. And Otis looked sad. Then he tore his shirt off. He began to gyrate. That's the word I was thinking of, not convulse. Was he fucking Bryan Danielson? He starts to gyrate. Gable went face to face with him and again told him no, don't do it. And when Otis turned around, Reed dropped him with a thrust kick and then hit him with a senton. He went up top. And he hit the tsunami splash and got the win. 50? There's no way. There's no way. The actor who played Chunk in the Goonies is 50. I know the actor who played Sloth, I think, is dead. But, oh, wow. Yeah, okay. It came out in 85, not 88. That's my mistake. That's right. Man. All right. Yeah. That's what happens. You know, people get old, unfortunately. When you get old, you do stupid things like climb to the top of a cage and just dive off feet first. Anyway, after the match, Gable got a microphone and he stopped Otis. Otis was leaving and he stopped him from leaving and he said, get back in the ring. And then he called for Tozawa and Maxine to come out for a team meeting. Gable said he had had enough. So it was a nice little hook going into the commercial break, because as Tozawa is coming out and Maxine Dupree are coming out, they went to a commercial break and you wanted to stick around to find out, is this going to be it? Is this going to be the end of the Alpha Academy? Is Otis going to get his moment here? When they came back, Gable asked Otis, what am I going to do with you? And he blamed Otis for costing him the Intercontinental title, said that he blew it when he gave him a chance to redeem himself tonight. So he said what Otis lacks is discipline. So he would show him discipline in front of everyone. Gable said, I don't want to do what I'm about to do, but you made me do it. Gable begin, now he reaches for, at first I thought he was reaching for his zipper, you know, and he's telling Otis to, you know, go over and grab the ropes, like assume the position, and he's reaching for his fly. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What is happening here? But he pulls his belt off and he tells Otis to go over and grab the ropes. Michael Cole said that this type of punishment went out 30 years ago. Not with Rhea and Dom, I'll bet. Gable told Tozawa and Maxine to watch what happens when you bring shame to the academy. Gable wound up like he was going to whip Otis with the belt, and Maxine reaches up and grabs him by the arm and stops him. And everybody cheers. So Gable turns to Maxine and says, oh, is this too much for you? He told her to leave and don't come back. Then he asked Tozawa if he had a problem with it. Then he told him, you're going to stand there and you're going to watch. So Gable wound up with the belt again, but this time he was interrupted by Sami Zayn's music. Out comes the Intercontinental Champion, and he briefly passes Maxine in the aisle because Maxine is on her way to the back and he's asking, are you okay? And yeah, she looks at him. She looks back at the ring and she's just like, I don't know. And she leaves and she goes to the back. So Gable tells Sammy, stay out of it. Stay out of Alpha Academy business. Zayn climbs up onto the apron. Gable says, this is your last chance. You better not take one more step. Sammy gets in the ring. He goes, what are you going to do, Chad? And Zayn, you know, I just realized he's got the perfect name, too, for this gimmick. Like, they're trying to get so much heat on Chad Gable and make him so hated, so snobby and so hated. He's got the perfect name for it. Chad. You just want to punch the guy in the face. Like, it's the perfect name. The only other name I could think of that would be maybe even better or just as good would be Todd. Right? Chad. Todd. So anyway, says Gable thinks he's tough, but he's a weak little man. And Gable has manipulated his way into multiple opportunities for the Intercontinental title, and he has come up short each and every time. Zayn said that Gable finds people to blame when in the reality is, he is the one who cannot get the job done. So Gable said that he would have gotten the job done on Saturday had it not been for Otis, so now he has to get his discipline. Gable wound up with the belt. Zayn took it away from him. A small whoop that trick chant broke out in the arena. A hanging Chad. Very good. Yes, very good. So Zayn turns to Otis and he says, are you going to listen to him? How much more crap are you going to take from this guy? Zayn told Otis to listen to the fans and Otis looked to the crowd. He started to fire up. Zayn told Otis, listen to your heart. When it's calling for you, listen to your heart. There's nothing else you can do. Sorry. At that point, Gable attacks Sami Zayn. who tackled him and threw punches. Otis then pulled Zayn off of Gable. He didn't attack him. He just pulled him off. And Sammy's yelling at him, "What are you doing? Otis, this is your chance." And Gable grabs Zayn from behind. German suplexed him. Gable threw punches at Sammy. And then Chad picked up the Intercontinental title. He posed with it over Sammy's body. Fans chanted, "Let's go, Otis." They were hoping so badly this was the moment that Otis was going to turn on this man, but it was not meant to be. Gable left the ring to booze. Tozawa followed. Otis stayed in the ring. He looked down at Sammy until Gable said, "Let's go." And Gable had Otis and Tozawa walk in front of him and then turned around and looked back at Sammy in the ring. This right here was the best thing on the entire show. And one of the reasons why it works so well, it is an easy story to invest in. It's a simple story to follow. And Chad Gable, he's so hateable in this role. I have to say that everybody in this angle, everybody in this story, including Sami Zayn, but as far as the Alpha Academy, Gable, Maxine, Tozawa, who doesn't do much. All he's got to do, though, is stand there with those sad little puppy dog eyes, and then Otis. Everyone is playing their role perfectly. Everybody knows what their role is, their facial expressions, their mannerisms. It's not even like they're out there cutting promos. You know, Gable really is the only one out there, Gable and Zayn, cutting promos. Otis really isn't saying anything. Maxine doesn't say anything. She says it with her eyes and her face. She's very good at that. So I'm loving this angle. I think also that this is the best work in terms of storyline, easily. This is the best that Sammy has done with anything since the Bloodline. I'm not saying it's as good as the Bloodline stuff he was doing, but him out there now trying to, you know, even going into WrestleMania, you know, when he was second guessing himself and Chad Gable offered to train him, and from that point on until now where he's trying to convince Otis, look, you don't need this guy. What are you doing? This is great stuff. And if it goes where I hope it's going to go, then it's only going to get better. I mentioned the Creeds earlier. I mean, there's so many different ways they can go with this. Like, do you do Otis and Gable before you bring the Creeds in? Or do you bring the Creeds in first, do the split, then eventually you do Gable and Otis? Does Gable win the Intercontinental title and then go on to defend it against Otis? Could that be a SummerSlam match? See, I'm not convinced that Gable is winning the title before SummerSlam. They may actually try to drag this out. He may finally beat Sami Zayn at SummerSlam. I don't know that I would wait that long. But at some point, we're going to get Gable and Otis, and you have to ask the question, when that match happens, is Gable Intercontinental Champion? Is that going to be a title match? So again, there's a lot of different ways they could play this out, but easily the best thing on the entire show tonight. Kathy Kelly interviewed Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark in the back. Baszler did not care that Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair were the women's tag team champions because they have the same limbs as everyone. Well, Bianca and Jade do not look like everybody else. I mean, they look like superheroes. But she said they have limbs like everybody else. Zoe thought that they should invite them to Raw. Now, of course, the women's tag team champions float, so they could technically go to whatever show they want to go to at any time. Sonya Deville showed up. She made her return last week on TV, trying to convince these two why they need to be together, and they blew her off. So now here, week number two, she shows up. She wonders, why are you talking like champions already? She said that they could become champions with her help, and they blew her off again. Baszler told her to walk away before she put her on the shelf again and tore her other ACL, and Sonya said that she respected her accomplishments because Shayna was going on about how I was the longest reigning women's champion in NXT and all this stuff. And Sonya said, look, I respect that, but the locker room doesn't. And at that point, Shayna and Zoe went to go walk away. They ran into Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, and Alba recalled Shayna and Zoe claiming that they had beaten every team there is to beat, while pointing out that they had never beaten her and Isla Dawn. And then Sonya popped back up and said, like I said, no respect. So they are the number one contenders for the women's tag team titles. They did not get the shot on Saturday. That was Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. But these two are next in line for a shot at the titles. Just a matter of when they decide to do them. I don't see that being on the the PLE card, unless they do it on the kickoff show. I mean, that could easily be a TV match. And the main event was Becky Lynch. Is this her final match for the time being in WWE? Becky Lynch one-on-one with Liv Morgan inside of a steel cage for the Women's World Championship. The match was joined in progress. This was about 12 minutes, 13 minutes before the top of the hour. Becky took control and hit some sliding kicks on Liv, who was up against the cage. Liv avoided a middle rope leg drop and then pulled Becky face first into the side of the cage. That took us into the final commercial break. Becky later on hit a second rope superplex and then covered Liv for two. Liv performed a springboard into a code breaker for two of her own. The champion showed frustration and then climbed the cage. Becky joined her on top of the cage and got the better of her. They were throwing punches back and forth. Becky got the better of it. Liv fell back into the ring, but then she got up and she pulled Becky into a powerbomb position and powerbombed her. So Liv went for oblivion. Becky avoided it and tried for a disarm her. Liv, though, drove her into the cage. Now Liv climbed the ropes and got caught by Becky, who hit a side Russian leg sweep, covered her, did not get the three. Dominic Mysterio comes out, and he comes down, and he lifts the latch, and he opens the cage door, and he's motioning for Becky Lynch. He's summoning her. Come on, get out of the cage. You can win. Let's go. And as with Saudi the other day, when he slid the chair into the ring, Becky refused his help. She's like, what are you doing here? She doesn't want to. She doesn't need his help. She doesn't want to leave and win the match and win the title that way. So Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, same JD McDonagh who has been running around avoiding Braun Strowman all night, two of them make their way down to the ring. Balor and McDonagh, they speak to Dom, who said, I have to try to fix things. And Balor's like, all right, you know what? Whatever. You do whatever the hell you want to do. Liv tried to escape, but Becky grabbed her feet, and now we hear Braun Strowman, his music, and out comes Braun Strowman. This fucking guy has been running around for the entire show trying to get his hands on JD McDonagh with a bad knee for 3 hours, and now he finally sees his opportunity. He runs out, and he chases Balor around the ring, and do you know what that means? Do you know what that means for the first time, I think, ever? In history, the Strowman Express not only ran once, ran twice. Twice. So Braun Strowman now chasing him around the ring. And as McDonagh is running away from him, Dominic is still standing there by the cage door. And again, he's got his arm in a sling. He had that Tommy John issue. So he's got his arm in a sling. Here comes Braun Strowman. And Strowman collides with Dom, which sends Dom into the cage door, which sends the cage door into the head of Becky Lynch. And that is the closest that you will ever get on this show in this era to man-on-woman violence. So the cage door goes into Becky's head. Liv Morgan then escapes through the cage door. Her feet touch the floor. She wins the match. She retains her title. Liv Morgan is still the women's world champion. Just the way this all played out, this was a very lame finish to this cage match. Very lame finish. And by the way, I said it at the beginning, this did not need to be a cage match. They may have literally said, okay, we have to come up with some convoluted finish to explain this story, and so we'll put them in a cage, right? That's not how you should book a cage match. You should book a cage match if there is a real legitimate reason to book a cage match, or if it's like a real grudge match. You could make the argument that these two have a bit of a grudge, although I don't think it's been going on long enough, really. But they barely even made use of the cage in any kind of significant way. You know, they went on top at one point, but it's like, this didn't even need to be a cage match. And then that finish was just fucking terrible. So now after the match, Liv grabs her title. She walks towards the back. She's in the aisleway now. Dominic is in the aisleway. And he has a look on his face like he knows he fucked up. So now Liv is over there, and she stands next to Dom, who shoots her a dirty look, and she's looking back at him, and that is where the show goes off the air. because they had a hard stop at 11 p.m. and they had been going right up until the very end here. They've been running out of time on these shows for weeks now. So they go off the air. But a pretty significant thing happened when the show was over, that if you were watching here in the States anyway, on USA Network, that you did not see. And that was Liv Morgan grabbing Dominic Mysterio and trying to swallow his head. Now, or maybe she was just trying to suck his mustache down. I don't know what she was trying to do here, but this passionate embrace and this kiss, and she held on to him for a while, too. I mean, this wasn't like a quick peck. I mean, she was kissing this guy for a good, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds probably before she let go. So the crowd was dead for this match, but they came up a little bit for this scene here. And this will obviously not make Rhea Ripley very happy. But Dominic is now firmly entrenched in this story. And when Rhea Ripley comes back, you know, I'm looking at this. Dom is going to be the referee, isn't he? He's going to be the referee for the eventual Liv Morgan-Rhea Ripley match, is where I think this is headed. Which I'm hoping is SummerSlam, if Rhea can get cleared and come back in time. That would seem to me to be the title match for SummerSlam. Would not at all be surprised if Dominic ends up being the referee for that match. But will they split them? You know, will they split Dom and Rhea? I think it would almost be a tragedy for them to do that, because those two were so good together that I kind of don't want to see them get broken up. You know, but I don't know. Maybe I don't expect him to go off with Liv, but if they wanted to use this as a way to kind of drive a wedge between Rhea and Dom and then eventually split them and have them go their separate ways, you know, even if they don't turn on each other, they could use this as a way to do that, but I kind of hope they don't. But anyway, that is how Raw went off the air. When you look back on this show here, there were parts of the show that I liked, but for a 3-hour show, it was a chore. I mean, it was a fucking chore to sit through this show. There have been Raw episodes in recent months where it flies by and it really doesn't feel like 3 hours. And then you have a show like this, which just had no life to it. Even in the main event, the crowd didn't care. Crowd wasn't reacting at all. Didn't feel like a main event. Didn't feel like they were invested really at all. Or they just maybe really didn't think they were going to get a title change, whatever it was. And I didn't think the main event was very good anyway. They had a much better match on Saturday. You know, I thought Becky and Liv actually had a very good match on the show on Saturday, but definitely not the same here tonight. And Becky's future is up in the air. We don't know what we don't know. And until they announce something about her contract status, it's all up in the air. We know that Seth Rollins signed a new contract with WWE, so her husband is still working for the company long term. They got him locked in. They got Drew McIntyre locked in. I don't see any reason why, if she wants to stay with them, that they would not be able to come to some sort of an agreement. I don't know if it comes down to money. I don't know if it comes down to, hey, I'm a mom and I want to spend more time at home with my daughter. How can we work this out? I don't know. I don't know what's in her head. But for all the people saying, oh, she's all elite and she'll go to AEW, she's not going to AEW. She may well be taking some time away. But Becky Lynch, when she comes back, it could be next week. We're talking about when she comes back. It could be next week. It could be next month. She will be back on Monday Night Raw. It's just a matter of when. But if that was her way of going out for the time being, this was not a good way to go out. And she's still hanging around Lyra Valkyria. And I said the other day on the King of the Ring stream, I said, if Becky sticks around, what is she going to be doing come SummerSlam? I could see her and Lyra challenging for the women's tag team titles, assuming that, you know, she sticks around and doesn't decide to take some time off. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of Raw here after the King and Queen of the Ring? Chris Mikesell says, I see her having another kid. Do you know something we don't, Mike? Or Chris? I don't even know your name. Chris, I know your name. Do you know something that we don't about Becky Lynch? 53.4% thumbs up for this show, according to the masses. 29% thumbs in the middle and 17.6% thumbs down. So barely over 50%, but it is over 50%. with almost 1,000 votes in so far for Monday Night Raw. Oh man, what a stream. What a night. What a stream. I don't know what's going on. I know I want to get into your super chats, though. That's what I want to do, man. I have been working my ass off. So I got to say thank you to the people who have donated. It does mean a lot. It really does. Your support is very, very much appreciated, especially this week. Let's go through your messages here. Got the real CS who came in first, so I will start with him. The real CS with the $9.99. I think at this point, MJF going to WWE is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Something about him screams WWE, and I think it's his mic work more than his in-ring work. His in-ring work is fantastic. I still don't understand the people. I'm not saying it's you, but there are people out there who will talk about him as if his in-ring work, it's like, oh, it's all right, but that's not really what he's known for. Well, no, I mean, he's obviously known for his promos, but his in-ring work is fantastic. So I don't understand when people say that. I don't really know what they mean by that. If he was to go to WWE tomorrow, he would obviously have to tone down a lot of the rhetoric in his promos, but his promos would carry him to the top of the company. And his in-ring work would keep him there. It's not going to hinder him at all. You know, he is the total package. You know, you could say, you know, I mean, look, you could say whatever about the language that he uses in his promos, but he'll have to clean it up. That's all. I mean, look at Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay just signed with AEW a few months ago and said the biggest issue that he has had is not cursing in his promos. Because that's all. It's like just force of habit. And now he's on live television every week and you can't go out there and say the things that he was saying. So he's adapted. And actually, I think Will Ospreay has become a pretty damn good promo. But as far as MJF is concerned, look, I've said my piece on that. Do I think he will end up in WWE? Of course. Of course. As most people will bounce back and forth. MJF would be perfect for WWE. MJF will headline a WrestleMania one day if he goes to WWE. MJF will have so many new people to work with, and I would love to see him in the ring with Randy Orton one day. I hope eventually when he goes, Randy is still active. Because I think, for example, that would be a fantastic match. We could get MJF and CM Punk again. You can get MJF and Seth Rollins, MJF and Roman Reigns. I mean, the list goes on and on. MJF and Cody Rhodes. You don't think he wouldn't want to work with Cody again? So, of course, it's going to happen. May not be for 5 years, but yes. It will happen. Owen Curtis, how likely do you think Cody and Roman 3 is at SummerSlam? Not very likely. I'm not expecting it. Base Beerus says JD McDonagh looking like Neville with that ring gear. Yeah, I guess I could see that. Bobby's World. It's all subjective and everything, but if you're having a conversation about the best wrestler in the world today, is Gunther in the conversation? Of course he's in the conversation. I think if you didn't have him in the conversation, I don't know that I could take that argument seriously. HBKC83, what are the chances of Dom being special referee for a Rhea versus Liv match at SummerSlam? I'd say they're pretty damn good. Pretty, 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 pretty damn good. The Juliet. MLB umpire Angel Hernandez is retiring on Tuesday. You better not be fucking with me. You know what? That right there, what you just said, is deserving of a celebration. That is deserving of a celebration, without a doubt. We're going to drop some confetti. Angel Hernandez is going away. For those who don't know, Angel Hernandez is the dirt worst umpire in all of Major League Baseball. I have rarely seen someone who is that, I mean, maybe with the exception of Rick Knox, I have rarely seen someone who is that fucking terrible at their job. And literally almost everything they do, almost every decision they make, almost every call they make is just fucking the opposite of what it needs to be. So if that is the case, then don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. There you go. That is the best news that I've heard all day. That's great. Venom Kitetsu with the $20 super chat. Work schedule rarely allows me to be around for the live streams, but I always catch the reviews after I get home. You and Cornette are my go-tos for updates and entertainment when cooking late dinners and playing with the cat. Good. I'm glad I got you covered. Oh, well, hopefully you were entertained tonight. As I fucking broke earlier. I don't know what the hell happened earlier. It's like one domino falls and it's like this cascade effect. And everything just fell apart there for about 5 minutes. But we got the train back on the track, so that's all that matters. We're good now. Rodimus Prime. Had a power outage in my area, so I missed the show after some of the highlights. Good thing I did. Yeah, I mean, again, I pretty much told you the parts that you should catch up with, and the rest you could just leave it alone. Jerome Eugenio, do you think that they would do night one WrestleMania at Saudi and night two in the U.S. similar to WrestleMania 2? No. I think that would be a logistical nightmare. And also, keep in mind, WrestleMania, they have those big elaborate sets that they spend millions of dollars to construct. So now you're talking about two sets instead of one, which is going to cost them more money. Although I'm sure the money they would make from the Saudis for a WrestleMania would probably more than offset that. But even still, I think that would be a logistical nightmare. I don't think it would work. I don't think that that's what they want to do. Alex says, Brother Solo, what can WWE do to make wins and losses matter? Well, as far as making wins and losses matter, when people go on a hot streak and they win a lot of matches, then that should put them in contention for a championship on the brand. I'm not even saying they need rankings. Just common sense. You know, if someone goes on a hot streak and they've been winning all their matches, you know, five straight wins, if you're on Raw, you should be able to challenge for the Intercontinental title. Or if you're on SmackDown, you could say that about the U.S. title. I think they should acknowledge them more often on TV. You know, so-and-so has 8 wins in their last 10 matches. It's kind of like in baseball, right? This team has won 12 of their last 15 games. Or if I was using the Mets as an example, you know, they've won 2 of their last 27 games, right? So it's just a matter of sort of dropping that knowledge every now and then just to drive home how important wins and losses really are. It's not hard. It's really not. It's not that difficult. Raph says, Ted Cruz attacked Cruz del Toro on Memorial Day? That wouldn't surprise me. Apparently, he's the Zodiac Killer, too. Oh my God, it's Winky, says Ted Cruz's finishing move. Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. Dev to Dust. Harrison Ford was very handsome when he was young. It was a good-looking man. I'm sure he had all the women in the world that he would have wanted to have back in his day. Just like Marlon Brando and just like Frank Sinatra and all those guys. Dean Martin. Dev also says, I was watching Saving Private Ryan instead of Raw. The opening scene at Omaha Beach was absolutely incredible. One of the all-time great movie scenes. It's very intense. David Thering with the $32 super chat, which I read before, but I'll read it again. So I love the support. Allow me to interrupt and say this Ted Cruz business has been more entertaining than Raw tonight as a whole. See you tomorrow night on TNT. Hey, David, thank you. Thank you, David. The Carlosis. Yeah, we already mentioned that one. I read that one by accident. Thank you, brother. Uffman Entertainment having a Warrior Mania 7 moment. Oh, I was looking on. No, see, Warrior talked to his hands. I was talking to the gods above. I wasn't talking to my hand. Warrior was talking to his hands. That's what he was doing. Alex says you can never mention Cruz del Toro's name without thinking about this moment. I'm going to try, though. Thank you, Alex, and thank you, Tuxedo T. Servo. Been lurking of late, but had to chime in with Ted Cruz. Broken Solo is the best. And why you've been lurking? You need to be part of the conversation here, brother. The Juliet says, rest in peace to Bill Walton. Yes, indeed, he passed away, unfortunately, the other day. I think it was yesterday he may have passed away. I think it was cancer, I believe. Oh, boy. I smoke a lot of weed with the $1.99. How the hell are you? Where the hell have you been? We haven't seen this guy in a while. You talk about broken Solomon monster moments. I smoke a lot of weed, says, hey, Solo, glad to see you doing very well. Hashtag 100K soon. Thank you, Ice Smoker. Still one of the all-time moments. First time I read a super chat from him, I thought it was some kind of new coffee blend. Literally, it took me like 10 seconds or 15 seconds to figure out what that name actually was, and then I fucking lost it. Base Beerus, thank you for the two. O. Harold, Gable and the Creeds against Otis Tozawa and Brock Lesnar. Okay, now we're getting a little out of hand now. Brock Lesnar would murder all of them. That would be terrible for Chad Gable. Keep Brock Lesnar as far away from Chad Gable as humanly possible, because there's no way that's going to end well for him. If you're a Chad Gable fan, that's the last thing you should want. Base Beerus says, Dom on a forklift. Liv versus Rhea. Dom on a pole. There you go. Dominic on a pole. Or maybe he could shave his mustache off and then glue it together and they can stick the mustache right on top of the pole. Nick Grosso with the $49.99 super chat. Did you see the 35-minute Uncle... No, I did not. You lost me at 35 minutes. The 35-minute Uncle Howdy video on WWE's Twitch stream last Thursday. I know people are getting restless, but I find it interesting. There was a QR code dropped in the 2K game with the woman in white almost revealing herself. I think it is Alexa Bliss. Now, I saw a clip of the therapist, I guess she is. I saw that clip. Did I watch the entire 35-minute video? No, I did not. But I would be very surprised if Alexa Bliss is not tied into this whole thing. 3-1 Gara was on your Twitter, and I saw that hilarious photo of Hulk Hogan and Randy Ripley. Hulk Morgan, I'm sorry, that's right. Hulk Morgan and Randy Ripley. Just wanted to say love your streams and all that you do. Thank you, brother. Yeah, whoever tweeted that to me, shout out to him. I don't have his handle. But I made a comment on the stream the other night. Might have been on Saturday. And I've done so many of them. And I said that the Dom, it's like the Mega Powers angle, only Dominic is Elizabeth. And so he photoshopped Dom's head on Elizabeth's body. And then it was Hulk Morgan. And boy, I mean, you got to take a look at this, because Liv Morgan, you should see the delts on her, man. The delts and the pecs. And then it was Randy Ripley. It was quite the image. Thunder Force, if AJ Lee had a match with one of the four horsewomen, who do you think would be the best option? I feel like she would get good matches with all of them, but I feel like the match that would probably work best would be Sasha Banks and AJ Lee. I think of those four potential matches, that's the one that I would prefer to see first, would be Sasha and AJ. Isaiah with the $10. Thought that when Maxine stopped Gable, that Gable was going to make her whip Otis instead. That would have gotten Chad mega heat. Yeah, you know what? That would have been a great idea. But then she would have resisted, and she would have, she would have been in tears. Don't make me do it. And then you hit Sammy's music. Oh, you know, that would have been so much better. That's what they should have done to make him just the biggest just jerk in the world. You're going to do it. And then she hems and haws, and she's just, beside herself with grief. And then you hit Sammy's music, and out he comes. I like that idea. Hoffenheim. Who was better in UCLA, Bill Walton or Kareem? Well, I don't have their stats in front of me. I mean, you're asking the wrong person here, but I hear Kareem, I automatically think Kareem. Kareem is Kareem. So I'm going to go with him. And Arabian Night 2000, after her tweet and just the vibe tonight, Becky is taking a break, then could sign with AEW. What is left for her in WWE? She has faced everyone and is stale. Look, AEW would give her plenty of new faces and some old ones too. I'm not saying that there are not good people for her to work with there. I'm not saying that she would not be a great addition to that women's division, although she would not. I really do not think she would make any difference one way or the other business-wise. I mean, again, look at who Tony Khan has brought in. He brought Mercedes in and all these other people, and at least in terms of ratings and tickets, and hasn't made a difference. So bringing her in, I don't think is going to make a difference. Why would she leave? Why would she leave? I mean, there are people who have partners, spouses who work in the other company. So it's not like it's not doable. It's not like her and Seth are Siamese twins. But I would imagine that when you are a married couple and you have a young child, and I don't know what their plans are for having more kids, but they have, a young daughter. As often as they're on the road in WWE, more so than AEW, I just can't imagine that if you had the option of staying in one place over the other, and you know that in WWE you're going to get paid, and you know you'll get paid by Tony Khan as well, but for family reasons, and because you're also just, you're established in that role with that character, she couldn't be Becky Lynch in AEW. She'd have to be Rebecca Quinn. And maybe she's okay with that. Edge left and now he's Adam Copeland. And it's really not a big deal. I just don't see it. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think she's going anywhere. And she herself has made comments before. I think she said it to Ariel Helwani, like that she's always going to stay or something to that effect. So no, I don't see her leaving and going to AEW. And I think people are going to get themselves all whipped up into a frenzy about this. Maybe that's what she wants. Maybe it's a Drew McIntyre type thing or a Randy Orton type thing where maybe you want the company to think that you might leave and go somewhere else. Maybe it's a leverage move. Maybe she hasn't gotten an offer for the deal that she likes and she's going to be like, you know what? Maybe I will play the field. Maybe I will take some time off and think things through. Send some feelers out there. Get yourself a better deal with WWE. You know what that is? That's good business. Maybe that's what's going on. And hey, if that's what she's doing, then more power to her. Leverage it as much as you can. Get that bag. Get paid. Get the deal that you want. Get the deal that's going to make you happy. Hoffenheim. Mavs over Celtics, right? Do you want my honest opinion or do you want me to lie? That's all I'll say about that. Thank you guys for all of the super chats. We are nearing 500 likes, so it would be awesome if we could actually hit 500 before we get out of here live. That would make me very happy. So let's see if we can do that. But right now, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
This is our second edition of Be the Booker here in the last 24 hours. We did one for the Double or Nothing review, and it really didn't go all that well. So I'm hoping that we can have a nice little rebound here. That would be nice. All right, let's see. Power and Glory, Hercules, and Paul Roma. You know, we just saw FTR in Anarchy in the Arena hit the Powerplex. These men right here had the Powerplex. Even though they were never pushed in WWE as a serious team, they have one of my all-time favorite tag team finishes. The suplex from the top and the immediate splash from the opposite corner off the top. So simple. But I just think it's a great finish. Ah, oh, come on, Tony. That's a PG show. Tony, come on. Get back to your feet. Disgust me. All right, Power and Glory. I'm going to be taking on Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. D-I-Y. Jive Soul Bro, man. Slick. With some of the best theme music of all time. Jive Soul Bro, such a catchy theme. It's just such a great theme song. I remember many years ago, this might have been like, I don't know, 2015 maybe. I don't know what year it was, but you know, Chikara would have the King of Trios. And I think it was the King of Trios. And they brought in Akeem. One Man Gang, Akeem, whatever. And in the middle of like the match or whatever that they brought him in for, they played the music and he was doing the dance. And I popped huge when I saw that. I just thought that was great. All right, women's Be the Booker. Let's move on. Got to have a ladies match here on the show. And we begin with Jade Cargill, the former TBS champion in AEW. Jade Cargill. How about that? I don't know that we have landed on Jade Cargill before. I'm sure we have at some point. All right, let's see. Jade Cargill's an interesting one because there's a lot of people, old and new, in this list. And I'm curious to just see what kind of match that we end up with here. Jade Cargill against Sonya Deville. I was kind of hoping for one of the retro names, but Sonya's good. And Jade, I think, with the right person, it would be interesting. Jade Cargill and Sonya Deville. It could go either way. I gave it the bell. Referee's decision is final. That's it. But it could go either way. And you know what? One day we may well get that match. One day. Squash match? I don't know about a squash. Everyone says squash. Look at this. You have no faith in Sonya? All right, men's Be the Booker. Here we go. This is it. Memorial Day weekend. It all comes down to this main event right here. Surely we could book a better main event than the one we got on TV tonight. Oh, my God. Speaking of the main event tonight, some say he's running to the airport as we speak, hobbling on one leg down the highway. Braun Strowman. Do I have to bring out the Strowman Express here for a third time? Braun Strowman is in our main event tonight. Do you believe this? I'm already sick of the guy. The guy just came back. After a year, I'm already sick of him. Braun Strowman one-on-one. With Rowdy Roddy Piper. Well, we got our clean sweep, and I hadn't even really thought about that, but Roddy Piper and Braun Strowman, that could have been something. That could have been interesting. Piper and Strowman, look how happy he is, by the way. The one and only title, singles title, because he won the tag titles with Flair many, many years later, but the only singles title he ever won in WWE. That was a great moment. That was a great show. Royal Rumble 92. Interesting match, right? Yeah, I agree. Interesting match. Piper can make anyone look good, says Snow Dog. Yeah, I think that would have been fun. Hoffenheim says Roma was one of the worst horsemen. Yes, he was. And Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Did you see the clip of two robbers trying to rob a police station full of cops? The cops literally laughed at them as they arrested them. No, I did not see that. You should tweet that to me. Because I did not see that. I would have done the same thing. Or I just would have shouted Ted Cruz and I would have started laughing. Matthew wants me to add Ted Cruz to the next Be the Booker. I think I might fucking just completely break if we actually landed on him. Can you imagine? You know, I'm in Be the Booker. Can you imagine if we landed on me against Ted Cruz? I don't know. I don't know if I could handle it. Anyway. Well, I hope you were sports entertained here on this stream. I am exhausted. It's been a very busy weekend of nothing but wrestling and wrestling streams and two in one day, and we have many more yet to come. I'm going to be live right here on this channel Wednesday night for the post Double or Nothing edition of Dynamite, and we'll talk about it after it's over. And then Friday night is SmackDown, and that is the final stream for the month of May. So you get me on this channel two more times live this week, but I will be live tomorrow night as well over on JD's channel, JD from New York. We're going to be doing Tuesday Night Titans, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We had two pay-per-views this weekend alone, the return of MJF and all this, just everything going on, Becky and everything else. So I'm sure we will touch upon all of it on TNT tomorrow night live at 8:30 Eastern over on his channel. For now, I thank you for all the super chat love. Base Beerus, look at this, $2 here. Logan Hogan, brother. Logan Paul and Hulk Hogan. Well, they're both in Be the Booker, so maybe we'll book it one day. And maybe I'll even give it a stip. Be well. Stay safe. Also, if you missed it, go back and check out episode 863 of the podcast, because I dropped the podcast in the middle of all this pay-per-view madness as well. So make sure you go check that out. Give us a 5-star rating. Give the show a 5-star rating if you can on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because it does help the show out a lot. I will see you guys live back here on the channel after Dynamite for the post show on Wednesday. I'll see you guys then. Take care.